Guitar people, welcome to Have Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Hunter Metz. In our conversation, Hunter tells us about his touring schedule and the lineup of his band while touring and the types of venues he's played. Hunter describes growing up in the outskirts of Nashville and singing and playing guitar at a young age at church and listening to Drake, Little Feet, and Bonnie Raitt. Hunter talks about his different tunings and playing fingerstyle, and Hunter tells us about his new EP, A Crater Wide, and driving to Colorado to record the album, and he talks about the instrumentation on the album, and he describes his guitars. Hunter gives us his strategy for finding cheap hotels while on tour, and he talks about self-managing his career. Hunter tells us about what he does on his days off while on the road and while he's at home, and if you want to find out more about Hunter, you can go to his website, huntermetz.com. That's HUNTERMETZ. TTS.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my friend Hunter.
Hey, Hunter.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Nice awesome. To see you. When you're playing live, are you playing, is it just usually you and a pedal steel player?
No, not necessarily. We've done that for some opening slots, which I think is really cool and brings something unique. But as far as this run, it's like we have, we're doing no track, then we have like drums, bass, and then, yeah, no tracks, pedal steel and banjo, and then...
Is it the same guys every time?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so lucky enough, or I've been fortunate enough to have them out. I really just started touring this year. I've been with these guys all year.
Okay.
And it's been incredible. I got married last year and I was talking to them, and it's like I've spent more time with the guys in the van than I have with my wife.
Damn.
You know.
How many dates are you doing?
Well, this year we started with an artist named Steinza, and that was in January, and then we opened for an artist named David Kushner in February, and that bled into March, and then in May I ended up going out to Colorado and bringing them out there to like finish up the record.
Okay.
So that wasn't touring, but just some time we had together. And then in May we opened for James Bay, which was amazing.
Yeah,
and then
of course.
The record came out recently, and then this headline tour.
Okay. For your headline tour, what kind of venues are you playing? You mentioned the Mercury Lounge. Is there
I mean, it's a lot of the classic, like, you know, from the ground up venues, which I really respect.
Of course.
You know, like, no, the idea of like there's no shortcuts or favors or like jumps in the process, you know. I think if anything, it's just a way to like connect deeper on a more intimate level with people. So it's a lot of clubs, like Shuba's in Chicago is one of my favorite smaller venues, you know. It's really neat.
Yeah, the caps that you're doing for like, what's the cap at most of these clubs?
Yeah, it's usually like 250 to 400.
Okay, somewhere that's decent.
Yeah.
And all across the country?
It's like middle America and then East Coast.
Okay.
So we did like Minneapolis, Chicago. I'm forgetting one. one before Columbus. Oh, Indianapolis. Indianapolis, okay. Columbus, D.C., and then up the East Coast.
Yeah. And it's night after night, looks like.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Right on. Yeah. Right on. You grew up in Nashville?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I grew up about an hour south of Nashville.
Okay. Oh, wow. And what's the name of the town?
Well, I was born in like Spring Hill, then lived there as a kid. And then around like high school, we moved to Franklin, which is like, it's like a pretty like hallmark town.
Sure.
And then now I live in Old Hickory, which is like 25 minutes outside of East Nashville.
Okay. When did you start playing guitar? When did you start singing and playing guitar?
I mean, when I was a kid, my parents, they're both like Southern Baptists. So my father's from like in the middle of nowhere, Mississippi. My mother's from in the middle of nowhere of Texas. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I started like singing in churches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As soon as I could walk.
Yeah. And what about guitar?
Yeah, I feel like I found guitar. Well, my dad played and still plays like kind of bluegrass music, so it was always around, but I feel like I found it for myself like in middle school. As I got like the baby Taylor guitar. That was like my first guitar. That I owned. And I've now like I now use that as like a high strung guitar, which is really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I still have that one. And but no, it was always like the fascination with the guitar was never to learn someone else's music, you know? Like I remember looking up certain songs that like meant a lot to me, but it was more like how can I learn chords rather than songs so I can like make my own thing. You know?
Who are your people, like who are your singers that you're that you kind of looked up to?
Yeah, I think like as a teenager it was a lot of like Ben Howard and a band called the Paper Kites, and I'm still obsessed with those guys. But recently, or the last, you know, like moving out of that phase, I love Nick Drake. Nick Drake has been extremely influential. And then, do you know a band called Little Feet?
Of course.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
I interviewed
like
them.
Might not be, there might not be too much, you know, like sonic, symmetry between the two, but man, I love records like that. And then like Bonnie Raitt, I mean, obviously you have the I Can't Make You Love Me, but there's a song called Thank You, you know, and I love that song. I don't know. So just like really looking at some of the greats, like the Nick Drake who maybe never got, you know.
Got his claim.
Yeah, got the claim, but it doesn't change, you know, how beautiful the art is, yeah.
Sure, 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 sure. And what about guitar? Are there other guitar players out there that you look up to?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question. I love when artists can make, you know, like simple chords feel like, you know, out of this, like otherworldly, where it's like, yeah, they're just playing a C, you know? But it doesn't, you know, the touch and the feel, it feels, you know, like a completely different chord. It can't be recreated. And I think I'm more obsessed with, like touch and like playing style and like the sonic footprint that has than like, you know, a Jimi Hendrix or like Clapton solo, right?
And have you always played with your fingers?
I don't use a pick. I don't use a pick at all. Yeah. It's always, always fingers. Yeah.
Always finger picking, like from the very beginning?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I've gone in and out of like some obsessions with like certain like alternate tunings. So like the first one is like, you know, like, oh, open D, you know, and that kind of like unlocks this like realm.
I was going to ask you about that. So, because I heard that a lot on your songs.
Like yes.
Open,
yes.
Open. So is it open D mostly, or is there a bunch?
Yeah, there's quite a few. And the live show, it actually like, cause I only use two guitar, like there's no guitar tech, you know, there's whatever. And so I've had to like change the performance of some of them, you know, to a standard. Or I use this one alternate tuning that's like where the top string is like the five, and it's technically open G, but I'll read it off to you.
Sure.
It's crazy. It's like C G D D G D.
Wow.
So like with the two D's in the middle. I don't know. It gives it like a really cool open sound. And then I can still play like upbeat ones with that one. But then like you were referring to some of those that are in your open D kind of tunings, it like lends itself well to that too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And do you have six albums out already?
No. A lot of them were singles. I've only done two EPs, but I think the first song came out in 2021.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so A Crater Wide is the EP that's coming out. Am I correct?
Yes. So that just came out last month.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And are you playing everything on it except for the pedal steel, of course?
Yeah. Well, so prior to this record, I had produced everything myself.
Okay.
Which was amazing. And it like taught me so much. But the process for A Crater Wide was really different, and like I wanted my choices to not be like the energy behind the choices not to be like me editing, right? Or anything like that. I just wanted the space to like really throw paint at a canvas.
Sure, sure.
And so I found a guy out in Colorado, and we're really close now. But I ended up driving out to Colorado and kind of like packed all my gear in there. And we made it together in Colorado. And it was so cool because I felt like I could just, you know, if I needed another take, it wasn't like, oh, let me space bar, go back. It was just like, hey, another take. Let's do another take. Let's do another take until it felt, you know, like what it was supposed to be.
Sure. The instrumentation on the album?
Yeah, so we called in, or he called in, like, certain specialties. So a lot of the keys I did, and then with the exception of a few songs, I don't know if you're familiar with the artist named Leif Volbeck.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But he was like, excuse me, he was around, and he came in and played on a few. And then that process was interesting, too, because sometimes, like, we'd use the stems that I had made from, you know, the demo.
Yeah, of course.
And they would make their way into the songs themselves. Oh.
And when you're doing the demos, where are you doing them in, like, in, you know, just, I mean, do you have a home studio? Like a full-on home studio?
Yeah, yeah. I have a basement in the house that I live in.
Okay.
And the whole basement is a studio.
Oh, wow. Right on.
Yeah.
That's great. What do your guitars look like? I saw an arch top that looked like unconventional, and a couple other guitars.
Totally. So back home or for recording, I love using like a Gibson Country Western.
Sure.
Like an older one.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that sounds good. And like some strings that, you know, haven't been changed in however many years, you know.
Which is very fitting for your music.
Yeah. And I think that's special. And then, that arch top is a Harmony arch top that I got off Facebook Marketplace for $200. And that's in the recordings as well. And then for live, I used the arch top for a while with a contact mic.
Yep.
But it just got like the noise floor was so low.
Oh, yeah.
And then that sound is so dead.
Yeah.
It was really hard to get it to translate live. And so I recently got like a Guild M20.
Okay.
And so I've been playing that live. I don't know. I don't know if I'm sold on it yet, but that's what I'm using for now.
So the contact pickup, what was the contact pickup that you're using on the Harmony?
Oh man, there's a guy in Nashville. His name's Greg, and he's at Classic Axe, and he's in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be able to tell you the model, but I'm pretty sure it's just like your standard flat with the battery on the back, and it just sticks right on.
Near
that F hole, and then goes out.
But hard to work with.
Yes.
That's too bad. On the Country Western, do you have a pickup installed in that one?
I do, and that's like a RL Bags.
Yeah,
and LR it sounds awesome. Yeah. Thank you. Excuse me. But it sounds great. But I feel guilty like taking that on the road.
Oh, okay.
You know,
and don't feel guilty.
But... Yeah, I don't take that one. We actually had our van like broken into on the James Bay run.
Yeah.
So ever since then, I've kind of tried to be a little bit more careful.
Sure. What's the case that you're using for the Country Western?
Yeah, I just have like one of the Gator cases.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and I think that is pretty good. And then I'm so paranoid about getting on flights, you know, with the guitars. Like, I'll have like, I can go grab it. It's right there. But there's like packing tape. Like, I'll use like bubble wrap and like cardboard and.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing to just make sure nothing happens to those.
Yeah, exactly. And you haven't bought a Carlton case yet?
No, not yet.
They're pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you gate checking your guitar when you go to when you're flying with it? Or
typically.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically. And like I said, I'll like pack them up as nice as possible. I'll detune all the strings.
Yeah.
I have like a Fragile sticker too that I just like, you put the Fragile sticker on and then like clear tape over it. You know, and that's like the only sticker on the case, and just hope for the best.
Oh, of course. Is there an airline that you prefer, like flying with?
That's a good question. Knock on wood, I have not had any anything break.
Yeah.
Yet. Good. And yeah, so no preferred airline, but I do think like I'm really diligent with packing it. Yeah. You know, packing it up nice.
Sure. How many guys are in the van with you when you're traveling by van?
Right now on this tour, we have the opener, Emma Anderson. She's with us in the van.
Wow.
So, and then the whole band, TM. It's like every seat. Well, some of the seats are taken out, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a 15-passenger, like Ford Transit, right? But I think we have 7 seats in the van, and all 7
are taken
out.
Oh, yeah. My God. And are you guys, so are you staying in motels or are...
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, that's if you can afford it, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many people in a room?
Oh, we got at least 2 people in every room.
Oh, yeah, of course.
2 people minimum. Yeah.
And is there a motel chain you prefer?
No. I mean, sometimes we'll get on like Hotels Tonight. You know what I mean? And it's like whatever's closest. You know, whatever. Yeah, whatever's closest and whatever's cheap.
Yeah. And has free breakfast.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
are you self-managed or do you have management?
I don't have management right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's been like a recent change. But no, I think like something I've found really almost beneficial from that is like the ability to have a personal relationship with all the people around you.
Sure.
And I think that holds a lot of weight, whether it's the people, you know, who are submitting the designs for merch.
Oh yeah.
Right. Or the vinyl, right? It's like every step along that process.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you're working on the project and you know, it's something, it's a team, you know, and I'm not in a band. And so a lot of times it's like the people I'm working with, that is my band, you know, that is as close as it gets.
Yeah.
And so that's been a really like positive thing with no management.
Yeah. And what about agent? Do you have an agent booking the dates?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. Yeah.
And did they approach you or did you approach them?
They ended up approaching me, which was awesome. Yeah. And, they're at WME.
Okay. Wow.
Really? Yeah. Decent. Great guys over there.
Yeah. How's the routing? Are they doing a good job with routing?
Yeah, they're doing a good job. Yesterday we had like a 9-hour, and then getting to the first show was like an 11-hour drive.
Wow.
but yeah, yeah. I remember one on the James Bay tour, we had to do 40 hours. Well, it was 42 hours in 4 days.
Wow.
So Los Angeles all the way to Philly.
Oh my God.
and we had 2 flat tires.
Oh no.
And a check engine light.
Oh,
like
no.
All within the span of these 4 days. And that was crazy.
Is it
and
your
I remember
man?
Talking. No, I don't own it. I wish. But we were talking to James Bay and like their crew. And we were like, what are you guys going to do like on the long drive? You know, like just making small talk.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, we're going, you know, the British accent is like, we're going to Mexico City. You know what I mean? Yeah. For 3 days. And they're just, then they have like drivers and stuff. And I'm like, oh, fun. Like I hope you have so much fun. You know, I'll be in the van.
During the summer, do you do fairs and stuff?
I haven't played like a proper festival, which is something I'm like really looking forward to. I think something I've always tried to do is like be really, really intentional with those. Because, you know, like some of the festivals, I want to make sure it's the right time in my career to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if you play one festival, a lot of times it's like you might not be able to get back on the bill for however many years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so I think just like the preparation and then when the opportunity is right, I think that might be the reason behind that and not playing a lot of the festivals. But
yeah, right on. But what about fairs like county and state fairs and stuff like that?
I've never played a fair.
No.
Never played one.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
You'd be perfect for it.
Yeah. I got to get out. Yeah, I got to call WME, right?
Yeah. Do you call them? Do you call them and say, hey, what about this venue here?
I'm pretty like a passive person to a fault, you know? And maybe, yeah, maybe that's a bad thing. But at the same time, it's like I do trust them to an extent.
So when you have a day off, like, you know, you're playing in Philly and then you're going to go to New York and there's a day in between. Are you guys, do you look for a date? Like, do you look for an opportunity to play somewhere, or do you got, what do you guys do on your day off?
Oh, dude. So when on that day off you're talking about, we've been trying to organize like an event for fans, just like at a record shop in Brooklyn. So it's like, we'll just show up and we'll just put it on social media and hope people show up, you know? But we love playing, you know, and like writing on the road as well. I think there's a balance too, where it's like, at some point I got to do my laundry, right? How many days can I go before I have to do it? But I think like any chance we can get to get out, like last night, we, you know, after the 9-hour drive to DC, it's like, let's go see Lincoln Memorial. Like, let's go see the world, you know, where it's like, I think a lot of, I don't know, maybe not a lot, but some people tend to like neglect that part of of the process. And it's like, I think it's such a missed opportunity, because that's part of the beauty of it. It's like you get to see so much of the world while you're on tour. So
And your wife doesn't travel with you?
No, she works full time as a nurse. And so those hours and that schedule are pretty strenuous. And of course she's like so supportive and will be like at any that are possible. But at the same time, it's like she's dealing with her own crazy schedule.
Of course, a whole different type of crazy. Do you have electric guitars?
No, it's all acoustic.
It's all acoustic. When you're not touring and when you're, you know, when you're at home, what do you do when you're, you know, what do you do for fun? Do you have kids yet?
No kids. I do have a dog, and I feel like I spend a lot of time with family. Like, I was fortunate to have like a great support system, you know, and they still live like an hour from where I live. I love seeing them. You know, I have an older sister as well, and we're close. We're so different. And I think that's why, you know, we have the relationship that we do. But yeah, I spend a lot of time with family and just writing, a lot of time by myself, really. And yeah, I'm pretty reclusive, and that the circle, you know, the circle is pretty small.
But I know you're an hour away from Nashville proper, but do you ever like show up in Nashville and go, hey, I mean, because there's people busking everywhere, McDonald's and everything. Do you go, hey, I'm going to set up right here and bus for a little bit, just see how what happens?
I've never done it, and it might be because I grew up there, you know, but growing up there, it was like that was almost so cliche that it was like, no, you don't do that. Like, you don't, you're like, no, you don't do that. You want to like, you want to explore every opportunity on the face of the earth before you resort to that. You know what I mean? And
sure, I
whether it whether it's like getting into other things that are related to music, like the production aspect, the songwriting aspect, like try it all and then go do that.
I totally understand. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, Hunter. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
And I wish you the best of luck. I'm out in California, so if you ever make it out here, I'd love to check you out in live in person.
Absolutely, man.
So I'll be watching your schedule.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You too. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.